for lunch break as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up. It's Labor Radio.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Create and Celebrate, a night celebrating Black creativity and power on Wednesday, February 19th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Grant High School Auditorium. KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Create and Celebrate, a night celebrating Black creativity and power on Wednesday, February 19th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Grant High School Auditorium in Portland. Create and Celebrate is a showcase of young Black creative talent, including performances of poetry, dance, and music from students across Portland. Again, that's Create and Celebrate, a night celebrating Black creativity and power on Wednesday, February 19th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Grant High School Auditorium, 2245 Northeast 36th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad.
Good evening, Portland. Hi, this is Emma, and I am here on Prison Pipeline tonight, and we have a very special guest. We have Julia Lazarek. Welcome, Julia.
Thank you. Hi, Emma.
Hi, Julia is with the organization Friends and Family of Incarcerated Persons, and we're going to be talking to Julia tonight about her upcoming book, her podcast. We're going to be talking about people who are incarcerated in prison and why having the support, if you're someone who's on the outside and you have someone that you love who's in prison, we're going to talk about tonight why it's so important to have a support group. Because if you have someone who's in prison, it's like you're in outer space to a lot of the people in the world. There's a lot of people in America who just have no understanding of what your experience is like. And so they just can't relate. And I mean, unfortunately, there are so many people in America who are incarcerated that it's not that unusual. And of course, it's very disproportionate to, you know, it's based on issues like race and class are huge mitigating factors on whether or not you personally know someone in your life who's in prison. But regardless, it's a subject that is not talked about. It is treated as a taboo subject in our culture because there's so much shame that's put on people who are incarcerated. And we're going to try to unpack some of that and talk tonight with Julia, who works with all kinds of people and does so much on this topic. We're going to try to unpack this a little bit tonight and help educate you a little bit about what it's like for people who have loved ones who are in prison. So welcome, Julia.
Thank you.
Julia, so first of all, let's talk about the organization Friends and Family of Incarcerated Persons. I know that we've had you on KBOO before, actually pretty recently, but it's always good to just kind of review the topic. What is Friends and Families of Incarcerated Persons, first of all?
Right. FIP is an organization that is 20 years old, and it's been providing information and resources and support to people on the outside that I call the outcarcerated. They're serving the sentence with their loved ones. The only difference is they're serving the sentence on the outside. When you have somebody that's incarcerated, it's not just that person that's affected. It's their friends and family on the outside. It's a financial as well as an emotional burden on that person on the outside. So what FIP does is we provide a place where people can come to and learn and also be around other people that have experienced what it's like to have somebody in the prison system. Like, what is lockdown? What is count? What are these different things that happen when your loved one's incarcerated? It's not common knowledge if you've never been through it. Mm-hmm. So by having this group, you can talk to other people. People can mentor you. They can help you traverse the prison system and explain certain things that are happening. So it's really important, just like anything that anybody goes through, if you can be around other people that have experienced it, it can help you. It just makes it a lot easier. And also it helps people for when a loved one comes home, because it's not the same person that's coming home. They've been through a lot and through trauma by being incarcerated. I mean, they've been given a number, so all of their rights have been taken away from them. They've been told what to do 24 hours. Oh. So when somebody comes home,
hey, Julia?
You need to be able to, yes.
Oh, sorry, we lost you there for just a second. I just want to kind of summarize what you've said so far, just before we get too far into it. Yeah, no, it was great. So basically you were saying that if someone is incarcerated, then the loved person kind of goes through the sentence with them too, which makes a lot of sense. I mean, if you have someone that you really love and that you care about, and they've been sentenced to 24 months or 24 years or 1 month, whatever time their sentence is, while they're there, you're kind of there with them in a way. I mean, if that's someone who's in your family, you might be going to prison to visit them. You might have to travel clear across the state because you never know where they're going to put someone in the penitentiary system. You might put them clear across on the other side of the state, and then you have to drive a long ways to go see them. So you're going through that process with them. And then you also mentioned that your group like helps to unpack some of the language that a lot of people don't understand, like count. What is count? What is that?
Right. When you go to a visit, when you're in the visiting room, one of the guards might yell, count. And all of the inmates stand up and they line up. Mm-hmm. And they do this several times a day, whether there's people visiting or not, to count for everybody that's in the prison.
Right.
So during that time, you're not allowed to talk to them or anything. They might line them up inside. They might line them up outside. But everybody just gets up and lines up, and you're like, what's going on? And after a while, or when somebody explains it to you, you realize, oh, they're just being counted. Once they're all counted, they can come back and continue your visit.
Right. And you also, and so then you also mentioned that when they come out of prison, so boy, we there's so much to talk about. We're not going to be able to fit this into a show, I can already tell. But there's so much to talk about. So when they come out of prison, they're not the same person. This is very common. When they come out of prison, you said that they've had so much time, people telling them what to do, telling them where to go, when to be. And so when they come out of prison, they're not the same person that they were when they went in. And it takes a while come back.
Yeah, like people think that, oh, well, you know, the first thing I want to do is I want to take them shopping, or I want to take them to a movie, or, you know, these are things that will affect them because they've only been in this one area, bright gray or whatever color it is, no bright light, no action going around. And when they come back into society, they need to get adjusted slowly.
Right.
So that's something that the family has to understand. And the other point I want to make is that when people come out and if they're on probation and they're coming to your home, the family needs to be prepared because their house is going to be inspected. There's certain things they can't have in their house. And they have to know what the rules are if they want to help their loved one, because one of the things that you don't want is for your loved one to break parole, because then they'll be incarcerated again. And that's one of the reasons for some of the recidivism.
Right.
So the more the family knows, the more they can help their loved one.
Yeah. So when people come back, it depends on what the sentence was and what the crime was that they were convicted of. But there's a lot of real generalities, like definitely like no drugs in the house, usually no alcohol, no contact with the person who the offender has, or a lot of times there's also like limits, like you can't go anywhere within such and such a distance. Sometimes you have to pay restitution, so you're working on that. You obviously have to meet your probation officer on a regular basis. you usually have to be looking for a job too and prove that. So, and a lot of times if it's a drug offense or something like that, there is also like a treatment program component. So they have to be in some kind of a treatment program. And there's a lot to do when people get out of prison too. It's really a lot of work. I mean, getting sent to prison is an emotionally, like, it takes a huge emotional toll on a person. And then when they come back, they have to adjust to this new reality. And they also have to be kind of like on top of their game when they're on probation. And so it's great when family members are there to support them.
And the more people know, the more, you know, we can educate people. That's another thing that FIP does, is we're raising awareness in the community. We have a speaker series every month, and we have community members come and speak from law enforcement, from community organizations, from the legislature. And this is to provide information to people that are affected by incarceration, but also to educate the community. And we're reaching out to students also, students that are studying law, criminal justice, social justice.
That's
so
great.
So they can see the other side too when they go into the workforce.
That's great. So you have this speaker series, so you bring people and help to educate the public about these issues. So, Julia, let's talk about your story first for just a minute. Can you tell me how did you become interested in this issue of supporting loved ones or family members who are incarcerated?
Sure. My why I'm doing this was my brother was incarcerated from 97 to 2012, and he was given a life sentence. And as I just said, he served a sentence to 2012. Because he had hepatitis C, and unfortunately he did serve his life sentence, and he passed away in prison about 8 years ago.
That's
and
my condolences.
What I realized was during the what I realized was when I started telling people that my brother had passed away, that they gave me empathy and compassion, and they supported me. And what I realized was that all those years that my brother was incarcerated, I didn't tell very many people, and I kept it quiet. And I realized if I had spoken about it during those years, that I would have received support and compassion from people, and I wasn't doing that, and I didn't want other people to have to go through that. So after he passed, I started prison, the hidden sentence, because it is a hidden sentence for the family members, especially if they don't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I started the podcast because I thought if people could tell their stories, that it would make them feel better, but also educate people on the outside on what people go through. And I think that's going to create empathy and compassion, because the family and friends on the outside haven't committed the crime that the law does.
Oops.
And so they shouldn't be stigmatized. We should support them. And that was my main reason for starting Prison the Hidden Sentence podcast.
Sure. So I'm going to try to summarize what you were just saying, Julia. And while I do, I might ask you just to check your phone real quick, because like every now and then we're getting a beep and then suddenly you disappear for a second.
Okay.
So, but it sounds like you were just sharing the story that your brother passed away in prison, which is one of the biggest fears, unfortunately, that, and it's a terrible reality that so many loved ones face, is that when you get sent to prison, no matter how long your sentence is, whether it's 1 year or 30 years, there's always the reality that the person that you love might pass away while they're incarcerated. It might be because of natural causes. It might be because of sickness or disease. Whatever the reason is, it's this fear that I think a lot of loved ones have for their family members. They really want them to safely get through, you know, serving their sentence and doing their time and getting out, because being reunited with your loved one is one of the things that we really want the most. And I'm really sorry that you weren't able to get that closure, but it sounds like you were able to take the experience of your relationship with your brother and really turn it into this really good work of creating this organization that supports family members of people who are incarcerated.
Right. I mean, when something happens, you can either become a victim or you can do something about it. And I was a victim for many years. I was in a self-imposed prison when my brother was incarcerated. And when I came out of that, when I realized that's what I was doing, I realized that I wanted to help other people. I wanted to open people's eyes. I wanted to raise awareness about how incarceration affects other people, because it's something people don't talk about. It's something you don't hear about. And it's very traumatic for families. I mean, it causes depression. It causes all kinds of emotional guilt, right? When somebody's incarcerated, there's shame, there's guilt, people thinking, especially parents or a spouse, what could I have done? Is there anything that I could have done to help it or stop it? So there's a lot of emotions involved.
So Julia, when people ask,
get through it.
Julia, when people ask that question, when people experience that guilt and that fear, and they think to themselves, what could I have done? What is the most important thing to tell someone who has a loved one who's in prison when they're asking themselves that question, when they're just, you know, kind of racked with, like, they just don't know what to do? What's the most important thing to tell them?
Right. I'm not a therapist. However, I believe that people do the best they can with what they know.
Right.
And that self-blame is not going to help them. Mm-hmm. That they need to move forward and do what they need to do to keep themselves healthy, because the healthier they are, the better they can support their loved one when they come home.
Right.
And the better they can support them while they're incarcerated.
So self-care, that's a really important message.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, whatever it is you need to do, find a safe person to talk to, get professional help if you need to, find a support group, and that's going to help you get through the sentence that your loved one has, and also help you for when they come home.
Mm-hmm. So, Julia, you're working on a book right now called Prison, the Hidden Sentence. Can you tell us about your new book?
Yes, it's going to be a help. I call it a help book, because it tells a little bit of my story of each phase of the process, from arrest through a reentry or taking care of yourself. So each chapter talks about, like, the first chapter is arrest. What do you do when somebody's arrested? And then some stories about, from myself and from other people that I've interviewed, how they addressed it and what happened to them. And then in the back of each chapter, there's a list of things for you to do. So it's really a helpful book if anybody has to go through the trauma of having a loved one that's arrested or taken into the prison system. How do you visit? What do you wear?
Mm-hmm.
How, you know, what are things that you can bring? What if you're on medication? All of these things are addressed in the book to help you traverse the system and answer your questions. So it's not a very large book, but it's very informative on helping people.
That sounds great.
And also how to take care of themselves. Yeah. Yeah, setting boundaries is really important.
Uh-huh.
How often do you visit? How much money do you send? How often can they call you? And talks about how they call you, how to send mail. So all of that information is in the book.
So let me ask you just a few random questions about your book. Why is it important to set boundaries?
Because when somebody's incarcerated, you're their lifeline.
Mm-hmm.
And there might be times, but I can give you an example with my brother, when he would just call me at random times, and I was working and I was doing other things, and sometimes it would just really depress me or bring me down when he called, and I had to pick times or how many times a week he could call. So what we did, instead of him calling whenever he felt like it, right, which might be really inopportune times, unless of course it was an emergency, that we picked 2 days a week that he could call me, and then that worked out really well because I could prepare myself for that. And then also boundaries on how often you would visit, because your loved one might want you to visit all the time, and you might not have the resources or the budget or be emotionally ready to visit so much.
Mm-hmm.
And so you need to set the boundaries so that you can stay healthy, because you don't want to let them down. But you need to do what's right for you emotionally and financially to go visit. Because one of the things, if your loved one is in a federal prison, right, and even some state prisons, they could be sent to a different state. So
it's
not always cheap to go visit them. So that's what I meant by setting some boundaries.
Yeah, and it's not so good if you live in a state like Nevada where you are, or California. I mean, even Oregon, here in Oregon, a lot of people get sent out to out to Eastern Oregon, to the facility out in Eastern Oregon. And that's like that can be as much as like it's out near Baker City. So it's past Baker City. It's like, it's a 7-hour drive from Portland. And like, you know, the population centers here in Oregon are all in the Willamette Valley. And there's some prisons here in the valley, but there's also prisons, you know, way the heck out there, out in the middle of nowhere. And it's mm-hmm. like, you know, to go see someone way out there, it's gotta be a weekend, and you know, your car better work. Your car's gotta work. You gotta pay for a hotel, you know, and that's in addition to like, once you get there, usually the person that you're seeing, they need something too. You know, you might need to bring them something, and usually they want, I mean, what about money? How do you set boundaries with money and with commissary and that sort of thing?
Right. Yeah, and it's really, it's all according to your budget. But once you set it, you've got to do what's affordable for you mm-hmm. and set your budget. And I know what I did with my brother was on holidays and on his birthday, I'd send him a little extra. Mm-hmm. But I would send him so much to last a couple of months. And you don't want to put too much on their books because you don't want anybody taking advantage of it knowing how much they have. So sending a monthly total, or I would send money for a few months at a time. And then, like I said, on his birthday and holidays, I would send him extra. Mm-hmm. And it's really what they need. If it's like you said, money for the commissary. So that's so they can buy extra food. And there's actually some books out there on recipes. These guys and gals can be so creative.
Oh yes.
Unfortunately, with the food that they have and what they can purchase, but also toiletries. They're not given. They're giving the basis. Let's just say that. Mm-hmm. So they might need additional toiletries, and if they can in the winter, they might need to purchase a jacket or another pair of pants or something, whatever the facility would allow, because some facilities do allow you to send care packages, but most don't allow you to send anything.
Right.
I mean, you could send books, but usually other things you just can't send. So unfortunately, whatever the commissary and whatever they're allowed to purchase is what you would want to provide money for as much as you can.
So right. Julia, where is your book going to be available? When is it coming out?
Yeah, it'll be a couple months, and I'll have to let you know. I'm pretty sure that I'm going to put it on Amazon and on my website. Mm-hmm. So I'll provide you that information, and
okay.
If I'll run it by some publishers too. We'll see what happens with it.
Well, that'll be great. Yeah, please let me know, and we'll definitely put it up on the Prison Pipeline Facebook page for those of you who. Don't know. We do have a Facebook page called Prison Pipeline, and you can find us on Facebook. We have 791 likes, and we'd love to get some more likes. So, not that we want to give any power or any more of anything to a major corporation, but unfortunately, for those of us who do this kind of advocacy work, you know, we try to get out there wherever we can, and that's one of our places. So please visit our page on Facebook, and we'll put up information about Julia's about your book when it comes out, and we'll also put it up here at KBOO. We'll try to get it on the Prison Pipeline page, so people can find out about it. It sounds really great, and you've also got a conference coming up pretty soon, right, Julia?
We do, and it's How Incarceration Affects Everyone. It will be Saturday, March 7th in Las Vegas, Nevada. So if somebody wants to come out and enjoy the weekend, they can come to the conference and maybe in the evening go see a show. But it's going to be really cool. We're showing the documentary Faces of Mass Incarceration, and that will be at 1:30 in the afternoon at the East Las Vegas Library. And this is a documentary by families and children who have people in the prison system. So it's really interesting hearing their point of view and how they deal with it. We're also having two producers come out from New York, and they are changing the prison narrative through music. It's Fury Young and Maxwell Melvins of Die Jim Crow, and they are going into the prisons and recording music by the inmates and also former inmates. It's a really cool project. and they're going to be doing their presentation at 3 o'clock. So the event will be from 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock here in Las Vegas, Nevada on Saturday, March 7th. We'll have resource tables with community partners, law enforcement, and we're going to have a picture booth, giveaways. It's just going to be a really good time, to gather information, to learn about resources, and to be educated about the prison system and how it affects you and what you can do about it.
That sounds great. We actually met. You came up here to Portland for the conference a while ago, and so we met, and mm-hmm. I met Kayla's mom, and Terrence was by just a little before then. So, I would love it if we could get a good support. Maybe there is a support group going here in Portland, here in Oregon. I just don't know about it, but it would be great to hear more about resources for folks who have loved ones who are incarcerated right here in Oregon. That's not based in religion. Nothing against religion. I mean, I belong to a group that goes in to chapel over at Coffee Creek. And so nothing against religion, but a really good support group needs to be kind of neutral. It needs to be like something anyone can walk into. That's the kind of group you've got.
I wanted to say the event on March 7th is free. And then I also wanted to tell you a bit, kind of add on to what you just said, that yes, we have a support group here in Las Vegas area in Southern Nevada. And we also collaborate with other support groups across the United States. However, not every area has a support group. So it's really important to get those started, to get those out there. Just like you're saying, is there one in Oregon? I get a lot of calls from Florida. We need some support groups in Florida. It's people that, anybody that wants to volunteer and start a support group, just reach out.
Florida.
Because you can start just with having meetings. That's how mm-hmm. FIP started 20 years ago.
Right.
They just had meetings. And when I became president 2 years ago, I decided that I wanted to expand it
right.
to programs also. So
well, if you want to find out about how to start a support group here in Portland, Oregon, just send us a message here at Prison Pipeline. You can find us on the KBOO webpage, and we will put you in touch with resources to start a support group for people who are incarcerated here. Julia, we are almost out of time. Just give a quick shout out to your podcast. I know you've got a great podcast that has been going for a number of years. If people want to find out about your podcast, what is it called?
Prison, The Hidden Sentence.
Okay, it's called Prison, The Hidden Sentence. And I know for sure it's on iTunes. It's probably on Spotify too, or one of those other ones. So
yeah,
Prison
yeah,
the Hidden Sentence.
It's on all of them.
It's a great podcast. It's got a lot of the stuff we were talking about just now. Julia, I'm so sorry. We are out of time. I knew this was going to go fast. We're going to have you back on. Julia, if people want to reach you, how can they reach you?
They can email me at fip.nv@gmail.com. That's fip.nv@gmail.com. They can go to our website, thefip.org, that's thefip.org, and we're at Hidden Sentence on Facebook and Twitter.
Great.
We also have a message line, if I could just shout that out. That's
please.
The message line is 702-763-1389.
Great, thank you. Julia, thank you so much for joining us tonight on Prison Pipeline, and we'll be back next week with more programming. Thanks so much to Selena, our board op tonight, and y'all have a good night. Thank you, Julia.
Thank you. Bye, Emma. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good.
That was Prison Pipeline here on KBOO 90.7 FM, Portland, Oregon. Up next is Hard Knock Radio.
KBOO proudly co-sponsors the Portland Folk Music Society's concert series featuring Sam Ryder and the Human Hands, an ensemble from the worlds of jazz and folk music. The show is Friday, February 21st, 7:30 p.m. at the Reedwood Friends Church in Southeast Portland. Sam Ryder has been a U.S. State Department musical ambassador, taking his accordion to at least six nations. For 6 years, Ryder has been band leader for jazz at the Lincoln Center's youth program. The Human Hands feature the violin stylings of Oregonian Alex Hargraves. For more information about the Portland Folk Music Society concert series, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Portland Women's March, Sunday, March 1st, from noon to 3 p.m. at Portland State University South Park Blocks in Portland. Portland Women's March is a rally committed to advancing political and social change to create an inclusive safe space for women and their allies. Again, that's Portland Women's March, Sunday, March 1st, from noon to 3 p.m. at Portland State University South Park Blocks, 1436 Southwest Park Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Thank you.